You're listening to the Screeners Podcast Network.
Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Geek Card Check. My name is Chris.
And I'm Tyler. And once again, we're Kateless, but we are...
Where is she? Where'd she go? It's like we scared her off. I think...
That's possible.
You know what? I wasn't wearing deodorant. I just realized
I think that's the problem. And she knew it.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's true.
The stench carried up to where she lives in Ohio there. Yeah. But you know what? We will press on, you know, without her, despite the fact that, you know, we're just a couple of dudes just watching stuff and talking about it. So, you know, Kate definitely elevates us, but well, we're here anyway. So.
I think we should rename the podcast, a couple of dudes sitting around watching stuff.
I think there's something about that. That's good. She will eventually come and rescue us from that. But for now it's just us. We're doing a check-in this week. Last week was sort of felt like a check-in, but it was a check-in about Discovery and Prodigy because we had both been watching that. This week is just a standard good old check-in. Next week, hopefully, I hope we don't spoil things too soon, but next week to get ready for Matrix Resurrections, that's the new one. We are going to be talking about the original trilogy of the Matrix. So watch that and then let us know what you thought about it because I can't wait to actually get into it. It's been a while since I've done the Matrix. Longer since I've done the second two. So I'm excited.
Can I ask you a question real quick, Tyler?
Yeah, please.
Have you watched any of the trailers for Resurrection?
I caught part of one at the movie theater. I try to not watch trailers, for some weird reason, it has been more difficult to avoid them at the movie theater lately. I don't know what it is. Maybe my timing's bad. I got rusty at avoiding them over the last two years. But I caught the end of one of them, like walking back in from the bathroom, and I know that I was confused. So we'll see. I don't know.
They released a new one this week, and I was already excited about it, but I am even more hyped now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not worried. You're not seeing it and going like, uh-oh, what the heck are they doing to my Matrix?
Whatever. It's not my Matrix. It's theirs.
True.
They can do whatever they want.
That's true.
Yeah. But I'm hoping they've got some cards up their sleeves. And from the trailer that I saw, I was like, oh, perhaps they are doing things that I wasn't expecting.
Well,
it seems
like it's a conscious reboot. Like they're being meta about sort of rebooting it is what it seems like to me. So I'm excited about that. That is kind of the only couple things I put together. But I have pretty purposefully not looked at anything other than I caught maybe 30 seconds of a trailer. So
good for you.
Fun coincidence. Next Friday, I think it's Friday, at my movie theater, they are playing The Matrix. So super excited to go see that on the big screen. You know, I was 12, I think, when it came out the first time, Dad got in trouble for taking me to it. So
it's so funny because, like, I have a 12-year-old right now, and I was talking with her, and I was like, yeah, I might actually let you watch The Matrix in maybe a year or so. She's like, Dad, isn't that movie rated R?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah,
but it's not the
same.
Like,
no, yeah. I feel like it's just as bad as anything that, I mean, you know, Avengers Endgame has just as much violence. And
absolutely.
But I'm going to rewatch it for the podcast, and then I'll know for sure if it's something I want her to see or not. I just can't remember because it's been so many years.
Anyway,
I'm excited about that, and I hope everyone who's listening to this also watches it with us because I want to have a discussion about The Matrix. I can't wait to re-enter The Matrix.
Same.
It's going to be fun.
Same here. Well, so let's get on with our check-in. Let's talk video games. You and I have both been playing some video games lately. Talk to me. What's sticking out to you? What have you been playing?
So I have an Xbox Series X.
Okay.
I was actually able to get one last year around this time. I know people are still having problems finding PS5s and Xbox Series X's. But thankfully,
Didn't even try. I'm with my PS4 and I'm really happy with it at the moment.
You're happy with it. All right. Well, that's good.
So far.
You know, it's fine. Well, what's interesting about this particular console generation is that many of the games are still backwards compatible. Even the new ones coming out are still both Sony and Microsoft have decided to do this. It's very interesting. There's very little reason, unless you just are, you really want the new thing to upgrade. Or unless, you know, you want the frame rate or blah, 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 blah. Anyway.
Oh, so I can buy a PS5 game for my PS4. Is that what you're saying?
Most of them. Most of the PS5 games that are coming out, yes, are also going to be back.
Sony, I didn't know that.
Sony, well, I think you, I mean, I don't know how Sony does it. I don't know if you have to buy both, but I know that you can at least purchase that game. Sony has backtracked. So, like, they used to say it's going to be a PS5. You know, normally it's what they do in console generations, right? Like, they lock it out. Like, you have to, in order to play the new game, you have to buy the new console.
Yeah, totally.
Well, now, like, I think God of War is coming out for PS4 and PS5. Whereas you would think, like, oh, wouldn't that, there's a new console generation. Aren't they going to lock out PS4 at some point? But they're not. Anyway, Xbox Series X is even more on that end, which is like most games are coming out for the PC, the Xbox Series X, and still the Xbox One platform,
right,
like through their Game Pass platform specifically. Game Pass is fantastic. You know, you pay, I think it's like $10 a month. And you get access to hundreds of games. And one of those games, in fact, I don't even know if it's on Game Pass. It might just be just free to download, is Halo Infinite.
Okay.
The multiplayer portion of Halo Infinite came out about a week and a half ago.
Okay.
Maybe 2 weeks. And I have been playing a lot of this game.
Yeah.
Were you ever a Halo person?
Oh, yeah. In all the way through college, but never past the 360. So, you know, we definitely got Halo. I wasn't a Halo 1 originally. I kind of went back and played it because I've always been a PlayStation guy. And so then I got to college. My roommate had an Xbox, and then the 360 came out, and so played all the way through. What would that be? Halo 3, I think, was on there. And then I've never played anything past then. So I loved it, though. Loved and played way too many hours of Halo.
So the Screeners podcast, our sister podcast, which I don't think has been recording recently.
It's,
but
it's taking a nap. It's taking a nap.
The OG members of that podcast was myself, my wife, Josh, and Chad. And myself, Josh, and Chad played, when we were in college, we played Halo just about every single weekend, the entire weekend that we possibly, I mean, like, we were all about it. We'd do LAN party.
Oh, yeah.
We would do
parties, man. I
Xbox
haven't even thought about those.
Yeah, Xbox Live was just mm-hmm. barely a thing in college, and so we had a blast with Halo. Now, some of my fondest memories are playing through co-op the Halo. I think it was Halo 2, maybe Halo 3. But anyways, some great things. Halo Infinite, though. I feel like the series had lost the plot over the last, I don't know, maybe like 10 years.
Sure.
I played all of the games, but I just really never dug deep into them like I did like the first like three games. And Halo Infinite feels like return to form. At least the multiplayer. It is snappy. It is fun to play. It looks good. They keep it on your, you know, they keep it on your toes. Everything is really, really great about this new Halo Infinite multiplayer. I know. I believe it's pretty soon here, maybe in the next week or two, the campaign is going to be released on Game Pass.
Oh, so they released it multiplayer first, then campaign. I didn't know that. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. As is the case right now, I think with most video games, you see, it used to be like this interesting deal you got when you bought a video game, you know, in the mid 2000s to almost now. You bought a game, and when you did, most of the time, especially the popular ones, like let's say Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty, yeah.
They would come with a campaign, but not only the campaign, you also got a multiplayer experience, like an online like shooter. And now recently also they've begun to do like that third thing, which is like a battle royale or a zombie mode or whatever else.
And that so was the even value Call of Duty sort of started that one, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. No, but I'm saying like Call of Duty did that,
yeah.
And then every title began to do that. So you just expected you'd get all of them together. You get the multi. But in reality, those are three different games, right? I mean, the value proposition is great. You pay $60, you get a multiplayer shooter, you get a, you know, a single player campaign, maybe it's co-op as well, and then you also get this third other or whatever. You get a bunch of different games. But in reality, those things are all done by different people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those are all different, very, you know,
different developers, yeah. Not developers, but creators. Yeah.
Yeah. Different. There are different teams that are working on those things. And so, you know, what's great about this is that it's still Halo Infinite,
yeah,
but they're treating them like separate, for lack of a better word, platform. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Halo Infinite multiplayer, it's there and it's available. It's its own track. And then you've got the campaign that'll be coming out soon. Huh. But what I'm saying is that the Infinite, Halo Infinite feels great. I'm having a blast. If you haven't played it and you have an Xbox One or an Xbox Series X, I definitely think you should download that, or Xbox Series S too, I guess, for that matter. You should definitely download it. If you got Game Pass, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It's a lot of fun. Yep.
Huh. Well, that sounds fun. I definitely say it was a part of my best college memories of us just wasting, you know, an entire two, like Friday and Saturday sort of blended together, you know, and you're,
you get your
pizza, you get your Mountain Dew and your beer or whatever, and you just play that for 2 days. Yeah, that was fun. Cool. Well, that's awesome. That sounds like a blast. I do wish, I'm going to assume, maybe I'm just really dumb about this too. There's not like a Game Pass for PlayStation, right? Have I just missed that?
The only thing they have that's even, so I don't have PlayStation, so okay, I'm not totally, but I listen to a lot of video game podcasts. Right. And so from what I can tell is
I don't think so, right?
They don't have something that is comparable. They've got like the PS Plus.
Yes, which I've seen that, but it doesn't
seem
as...
You get like one or two free games. This is like the Game Pass is basically a Netflix for video games.
Okay.
So you can download whatever you want, you can play it, and then, you know, whatever. Like, yeah, it's, but all of Microsoft's, exclusive games are available day and date.
Great.
So like Halo comes out, you don't pay $60. If you have Game Pass, you get it right now. I've been playing Forza Horizon 5, which is unbelievably great. Another fantastic game. I didn't pay $60 for it. It just comes free with Game Pass.
Wow.
So
that's worth it. Shoot.
Oh, yeah. Like these are legitimate AAA awesome games.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, PlayStation does not have anything like that. They're supposed to be coming out with something, I would imagine, because...
I would consider that, yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, if you're thinking about buying a console, I can't imagine recommending you get anything but an Xbox Series X,
yeah,
unless you just really want to pay $60 for a specific game. But, you know, even so, I think, man, Microsoft is not, you know, just really doing a great job. Anyway, so I've talked enough. What have you been playing? I'm curious.
Well, I've been playing through two things. Okay. One is just more recently than the other. One is Uncharted. I've been playing through that one again. Uncharted is just, that's like my happy place with games. Even though this morning I was playing and I was really frustrated because I think I just woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, but so I was like angrily playing through Uncharted. But
I have a hard time with Uncharted because I'm not a fan of like quick time events.
Oh sure.
And I'm not a fan of feeling like I'm on rails for most of the time. Like it's
a stressful game.
So linear. Yeah.
And true, especially after playing a lot more, you know, open world sandbox type games, it is different. What I do like about it is the cinematic quality of it. You know, but then again, you get things like Left 4 Dead, not Left 4 Dead. Oh my gosh. The Last of Us 2, 1 and 2, which are both, you know, very cinematic, but also pretty open world in a lot of ways too. So not nearly as open world Grand Theft Auto or your Breath of the Wild, but they feel maybe more open world. So anyway, I've been playing through that, but the real thing I wanted to talk about was I finally beat, I just wanted to let everybody know,
yeah,
I beat Breath of the Wild I was so proud of myself. I had Thanksgiving break last week. I'm a teacher, so I was off late or off for a full week. And then I got sick the last 2 days of break with just a gnarly cold, really gnarly cold. And it took me out for the first 2 days of school as well. So, I mean, I was just down.
Oh, man.
And, you know, of course, I'm sure I did some grading and I did some of my job. And then
If the boss is listening, yes.
Yes. And then I absolutely beat Breath of the Wild. Now, to be super clear, Clarice beat me first. She and I both been playing it. She won. She got it first. And completed all of the shrines and stuff like that first too. But I got it. I got all the shrines. And I'm very happy with that. I have all but like two of the side quests because they're it makes me have to go back into the Hyrule Castle, and I don't want to do that right now because it's a scary place. But but other than that, love Breath of the Wild. If anybody is even thinking or has heard about it or has a Switch and they're like, what else should I do with it? If you have a Switch and haven't bought Breath of the Wild, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
I think everybody has. If I'm not mistaken, I think Breath of the Wild has sold more than there are Switches, if I'm not mistaken.
That's so funny. Yeah, that's
good. Or there was a moment in time when that was the case. I remember like them saying like more people have bought the
than
game.
Actually could have bought a Switch.
than actual Switches that are funny. Out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. It's top three for me. It may be my favorite. Maybe top two. I mean, it's probably for me Super Mario World and then Breath of the Wild are my two favorite video games. Yeah.
I think I was a little bit condescending about the game when it first came out. I was like, okay, Zelda, fine. Nope. And Clarice was like, no, like I want to buy this. I want to get this. Let's do this. And, and I watched her play for the first. This is also, you know, she played it for a good, I don't know, month before I started playing it because I just couldn't. I couldn't stop watching her, and I was like, I got to be in this world. I got to play. Man, it's a good game. So, yeah,
it's great. It is truly a great game. One of the very best. It is a masterpiece, no doubt.
Yeah. So you also, just to change the subject a little bit here, have been reading some things. This is on your own.
We
didn't make you read these.
No,
yeah,
I know,
right?
Yeah, this
is very exciting. What have you been reading and what have you been thinking?
I think we mentioned this before and I could not remember. And I know, I don't think we've mentioned it since I've actually finished it.
Yeah.
But I still don't want to, you know, spoil anything for our listening audience. But I wanted to give you an update that I finished Project Hail Mary, which is Andy Weir's new book, new novel. I love The Martian. Yep. I love the movie. I love the book. I think it's one of the best stories in the last like 4 or 5 years. I just have a blast with that.
Yep.
With that, his follow up. What was it called? Artemis. I think.
Fine. It's a very
fine
book.
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
No, I mean it was. It just wasn't as good.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It didn't
was
give
not
me
as
those
good.
Feels.
No.
Yeah.
No, it was not.
This
as good.
Does. This feels like a proper sequel to The Martian.
Yes.
When I say sequel, I don't follow up as well.
A good follow up.
This is not a sequel at all. This has nothing to do with The Martian story, but it feels very much in that same, feeling.
It could be in the same universe, even if they, you know, if they wanted to, it could be the same timeline. That's fine.
Sure.
But
in your head canon.
In my head
canon,
it's there. Yeah. Yeah. Same as The Martian is in the same universe as The Expanse. Yep.
What exactly? What I like about this is if you appreciated The Martian, there are payoffs here.
Yes.
You know, the main character from The Martian curses almost nonstop. Yep. I think we mentioned
that. I think the first word in the book is the F
word.
Yeah.
Of and
The
then
Martian,
this,
not of Project Hail Mary.
And in this book, he doesn't curse at all.
There's one character who does, but he doesn't at all. And it's in story. There's like a reason. It's just not like Andy Weir decided not to. It's like, oh, no, you guys didn't like that. I'm going to have a junior high science teacher who has had to teach himself not to cuss. It's great.
It's just as funny, and I like being in his head just as much. He is just as clever.
Yep.
The main characters in this are fascinating. I don't know. I'm sure they will make this into. It is going to be a major motion picture starring Ryan Gosling soon.
Oh, I'm sure. Wait, are you saying like actually?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
seriously,
yeah.
Ryan Gosling,
yeah.
Great. Great.
That's what it says on. That's what it says on the New York Times bestseller.
Great.
In development as a major motion picture starring Ryan Gosling.
Although Ryan Reynolds was who I thought you were saying at first, too. I was like, it would be hilarious to watch him not swear for 2.5 hours. Yeah.
I think it would be amazing to get Matt Damon to do it again. Like, I mean,
same kind of character. That would be so funny.
I think
Ben
it would have been amazing.
Who can't swear. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's great. Anyway, I really loved Project Hail Mary. I had a blast with it.
Yep.
Beginning, middle, and end, every single piece of it, I ate it up.
Yep.
I could not. It was great. Hail Mary, I highly recommend.
Absolutely. I read that one. I think we talked about this on a check-in. I think I read that one in about one sitting on a flight or the day before a flight. It was so good and just happy. There's good peril and things like that, but it just is. It's a weirdly heartwarming book. I loved it. I thought it was great.
And like you just said, that actually is a good point. I feel like the general outlook and attitude of this book is very positive.
Yeah.
Like it is a very like positive, you know, great outlook on like humanity.
Yep.
And you know, that kind of stuff, even though horrible things are happening in the book, almost nonstop.
Yeah.
There's a drive there in science fiction specifically that I love, that I eat up, and the attitude of this book is perfect.
Yeah.
Pitch perfect for me anyway. It was wonderful.
Yeah. I haven't been reading anything in particular. I've been reading a lot for school. So weirdly, I think you're beating me a little bit, but, Clarice and I are reading through Harry Potter right now. And we just finished Prisoner of Azkaban.
I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
But have you seen that Brent Spiner released a book?
Shut up. What?
Okay. So Brent Spiner, I downloaded it. I have begun reading it. It is called Fan Fiction.
Get out.
It is. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt
you,
but I just forgot. I don't know why I forgot this. This is what I should have been talking about this entire time. Fan Fiction by Brent Spiner.
Inspired by true events.
Yeah. So what it is it takes place during the fourth season of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Okay.
And it features. It is a. I would call it a dramatic, fan fiction version of what could have happened on the set of Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Oh
if
man.
If it became like a noir like murder mystery.
What?
Like so. So yeah, so it's like alternate reality. But like he says, you know, you're listening to this thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then I knocked on LeVar Burton's dressing room and he opened up and then LeVar Burton, the actor, says LeVar Burton's lines.
Oh, he got them to narrate. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, LeVar Burton is in this. Patrick Stewart is in this.
Oh,
like
my gosh.
The cast of Next Generation. It is, I think, Michael Dornan. Like, it is Marina Sirtis. Like, they're all, like, in here. It's nuts. It's the most bonkers thing I've ever seen. You need to read this,
I'm
and we need
it
to talk
right
about
now,
it.
as we speak. Oh, my
it's,
gosh.
It's bonkers. It's because it is... He's reading it to you. Brent Spiner is the narrator, right?
Wow.
He's reading it to you, and then there's a point in the book pretty early on, and he goes, up until now, everything that I've told you was true, but from this point moving forward, some things are true and some things aren't.
Oh,
and then he just
gosh
goes, so you don't know, you know, oh. You don't know what's true, what's not. You know, you don't know if the characters are. It's brilliant. It's crazy. I don't even know if it's brilliant yet. It's just. It's nuts. It's bonkers.
Okay, I just got this on both audiobook and on ebook from the library as we speak.
It's crazy, dude.
Oh my gosh. Well, and we're taking a trip. We're driving down from Central Washington, where I live. We're driving down to Northern California to see my family in a couple of weeks, and it's a good 11-hour drive. How long is the audiobook? Because
oh, it's short. It's not very
long.
To. It's not. Yes, yeah, I think it's just over 6 hours or something like that.
Oh yeah, we're 100% listening to that on the way down. That is so great. Oh yeah, but 6 to 7 hours. 7 hours.
Okay.
Wow. Oh. Okay. This just changed some things. Okay. I'm genuinely so excited. I don't even know what I was going to talk about. So yeah, this is good.
You're welcome. No, you said that you and Clarice were reading a book.
We were reading through the Harry Potter series right now.
Ah, right.
I've been reading a lot for school and just prep like that. I've been reading through the Wheel of Time books. Nothing huge to report. And all that to say, like, good, but nothing that has blown my socks off. Probably, honestly, Project Hail Mary was the last thing that just blew me away as I was reading it. So,
yeah.
Although I will update you on fan fiction as we get to it.
We need to create a new Slack channel just so we can talk about books as we're reading
yeah,
this.
I will. Oh my gosh. I was going to switch things over then out of books actually over to TV. I've been watching.
Yeah.
We had a day. It was at the beginning of Thanksgiving break, and so you know one thing about me, is so right after. You know, break starts for me is I kind of crash. I either I'll get sick, which weirdly happened at the end of break, or I'll just I just need 2 days to just decompress because I go pretty hard during school. And so Clarice had, she was able to get the day off, and then, and I had the day off, and we had one of those just hibernation days. We didn't leave the living room for a full day. And, you know, put up, I think we like made beef stew or something and just had that kind of cooking on the, you know, in the slow cooker all day. And then we watched some TV. So we binged in one sitting, we binged Cowboy Bebop on Netflix, the new one, the reboot. So, or the live action. Have you watched that yet?
I watched the first 2 minutes and I was like, I'm not sure this is for me.
No, have you watched the anime? You don't like anime. You haven't watched anime.
I'm not a huge anime. Okay. No, I don't watch anime is the answer. No, I do not. And I my brother-in-law loves Cowboy Bebop. Yep. And so I don't know how many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I attempted to watch it and I think we actually, maybe we watched it.
No,
Didn't we watch it?
I think I...
You forced
me,
or you
watched,
told me?
You watched the first two. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, now I'm remembering this.
I thought so. And you didn't like it either, right?
No, no. It is too quirky.
It's very zany. It's nuts.
So is this any better? Should I continue to watch it if I'm not a huge...
The first scene, I went into it because I love the anime. And I am not an anime fan in general, but there are a few that I have enjoyed. Full Metal Alchemist is one. That is another one. Ghost in the Shell is another. And then Miyazaki films, we like those. But I really enjoyed the anime. That was probably the first real anime series that I sat down and watched and loved. Kate and I actually watched it right around the same time together because a friend of ours recommended it to us and kind of basically forced us to watch it. And much like I did to you.
Yeah, you did.
I loved Cowboy Bebop, the show, the John Cho Netflix live action remake. I loved every second of it. There was literally, I think honestly, the last 30 seconds of it are the parts that I liked the least.
That's interesting.
And only because it's so weird. Only because they decided to bring in a character that I was really happy that they had removed. And they brought that character in for the last 30 seconds. And it's a character that I just is grating and annoying and strange. But the show it's beautiful. I mean, it is a beautifully made show. The opening scene is a shootout that just puts the music to the forefront, and it is a musically driven show. I think John Cho does a great job as Spike. I think there are a few character choices that they made with some side characters and the bad guy that I didn't love all the way. But in general, most of the character choices were spot on. The music is great. The visuals are stunning. I loved Cowboy Bebop. And like I said, I was like, well, let's just turn it on. We'll see what the first episode is like. We didn't stop. I think it's 10 episodes long, and it was straight 10 episodes, no stopping. We had to do that. We had to turn off the Netflix, you know, are you still watching feature. We had to say, no, please don't ask us again, because yes, we were watching it. Cowboy Bebop. I wholeheartedly, completely recommend it. And then go get the soundtrack, which is done by the same band. I think it's called Seatbelts, who did the anime, and it holds up beautifully. And there's a twist. It is different than the show. Not deeply different, but there's a big twist change from the show in order to make it, you know, in them to be able to do a season two if they wanted to. And I think I think it was a good decision. I'm interested to see where they will go.
Nice. Well, maybe I will give it another shot. It to me, the problem is that it just didn't feel, it felt like, you know, they were shooting on like a, the opening sequence takes place in like a casino.
Yeah. Yep.
And it looks like any casino you'd find in like, I don't know, not Vegas, it, like a seedy casino someplace. But it didn't feel like it was all, you know, not the big reveal, but the reveal is that it's not where you think it is, right? But I didn't buy that at all. Like,
oh, no?
The production value doesn't, to me, just feels very cheap. Like it feels like a very cheap
one. For that first scene, I think you were supposed to.
I didn't know if that was the aesthetic. It felt very late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Like Doctor Who to me. Like, it was just very like, what is this production value?
Yeah,
this is
it gets far better. It gets far okay. better production value. And I will say the visual effects even get more than that. But I think they're going for the style more than they are
right.
realism, for sure.
There you go. There you go. That is it. It was, for me, I felt the style was, I think you used the word, was grating on me.
Yeah.
Rather than me getting...
That may just be part of it, too. Yeah, is that the style shifts a little bit. But it is... Yeah, I don't know. I would say give it an extra chance. And you have seen the anime more, or at least the beginning of the anime more recently than I have. But,
yeah.
Like, I don't even remember the opening scene being in the show, but I haven't seen it in, like, 10 years, probably. I should rewatch it, but, yeah.
Cool.
Well,
awesome.
What are you watching?
I'll give it a shot.
What are you guys getting into?
Well, I mean, you know, for us, I don't know. We've been watching a lot of non-geeky TV.
Same. Same. There's one that I'm going to tie in that's almost geeky, but it's not.
Yeah. So, I don't really have anything to add as far as TV, but we can jump over to some film if that's all right.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I've been watching, rewatching, I should say, the Marvel Cinematic Universe with my kids.
Now, is this a first time watch for them, or have they seen
some
of them? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I've been concerned with the first phase of Marvel was fairly tame as far as like some stuff goes. But once you get into like Guardians of the Galaxy and specifically Ant-Man, it becomes a little bit more mature and adult, like a lot more language.
I was just saying innuendo and language for sure.
Yeah. They become a little bit more, you know, risque whatever, however you want to say it. and so, you know, just been kind of not concerned, but you know, I think we've been watching all of them. We watched phase one. And I think what happened is unintentionally, they've been desensitized. funny enough, they're like, yeah, whatever. Let's watch these people die brutally. Yep. Okay, I hope I don't ruin you and you, you know what I mean? Like,
they're going to call you in 20 years with their therapy bills, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Dad, you did this to me. You let me watch Winter Soldier when I was 9. Okay,
oops.
Sorry. So anyway, so yeah, we're watching. We just finished. We're not finished. I'm sorry. We're in the middle of Age of Ultron.
Great. Okay.
That's in the middle. I think that's phase two.
Is that the kickoff or the wrap up of phase two?
I think Ant-Man is the final. Weirdly enough, Ant-Man, and then the beginning of phase three is Civil War.
Oh, that's true.
Captain America: Civil War.
I think that's right. Yep.
So anyway, you know. This is the first introduction of Wanda.
Yep.
Who obviously
and Vision shifts her whole thing very, very like very different from where she started. She grew.
Yeah, which is I'm very excited to see this because I've forgotten.
Yeah.
Because I'm very familiar with the Wanda that we have right now from WandaVision.
I was gonna say you've seen WandaVision, I assume. Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 WandaVision was wonderful.
So
in fact, we were just in a small group. We were talking about grief, and I brought up that line from the WandaVision show is that grief, what is grief other than love enduring? And like, I love that. Yeah. So anyway, that's where we're at, and I'm enjoying it. But speaking of the MCU, this is how I'm tying it in.
Yeah.
I just finished watching Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Okay. So, Chris, if she was here, she would tell you that every time that I haven't seen it. So every time that one came up, that trailer came up, that was the one trailer I have seen more than any other trailer in the last 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know,
everywhere.
Not much was coming out new in the theaters for a while. And so the theaters were opening back up. That was the trailer that would always play. And on one hand, it intrigued me. And by the way, I also haven't seen the first Venom. So you tell me just how crazy I am. I don't know. But on one hand, it made me want to see it in that I thought the humor was really funny. And on the other hand, I hated every second of it. And so I don't know how. Anyway, that's my experience with Let There Be Carnage. What do you – is first of all, do you tell me, is Venom worth watching? And then tell me where we should go.
Venom's terrible.
Okay, good.
Venom's awful.
It wasn't
awful.
Just me. It wasn't my prejudice. It's getting in the way.
And Let There Be Carnage maybe is just as bad. Okay. I don't know if it's worse. No, these movies are totally and completely almost forgettable. you know.
So not actively bad, just forgettable.
It depends on what you're looking for.
Okay.
If you're looking for stupid, dumb action, the problem is that it suffers from the like the PG-13 itis where it doesn't.
It should be rated R, kind of like Deadpool. It
wants,
should be rated R.
Yeah,
I mean, Deadpool
wants
is rated
go.
R, and that's why it succeeds. But yeah,
it wants to go dark. You know, it wants to show you gore. But, you know, it's constantly cutting away because these are, you know, monsters that are wanting to eat things.
That's the whole point, is they are trying to rip everything apart and eat everything.
Yes.
And it's PG-13. Okay.
Exactly. That so it constantly feels like it's being held back.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it seems like too much.
Okay. All right.
It's crazy. Andy Serkis directed this.
I did not know
this. This is his directorial debut.
Okay.
Which is the reason why I gave it a shot. But anyway, you know, this is the interesting world that we live in, man, is that like, you know, there's these offshoots, you know, the Venom verse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is different than the MCU.
Well, it's like the X-Men verse that we had that is now, I guess, officially MCU ish. We're going to see.
Right.
Yeah,
but like Spider-Man is a Sony property,
yeah.
And we've got Morbius coming out with.
I didn't know it was coming.
Jared
out.
Leto.
Okay. Oh, I knew. Yes, no, I knew that he had been cast. That's right.
That's
I think
Sony.
I didn't know that it was a Sony one. I thought that was MCU. But okay. Yeah.
And are you ever gonna watch Let There Be Carnage? Or do you have any?
No, spoiler for me. If I do watch it, I don't care.
Okay, so spoiler, you can skip ahead 30 seconds.
Okay.
Because I'm just gonna spoil something. I'm gonna spoil the ending of Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Venom gets pulled into the MCU.
Shut up. The actual MCU.
Yes. Peter Parker shows up at the end.
No, really?
Of Let There Be Carnage.
Like Tom what's
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Oh, well, no. So we, okay. I guess this is putting
together So what happens is something happens in the movie that's coming up, the Spider-Man movie.
I was going to say, it seems like it pulls everything together because that also has Willem Dafoe's Green
Correct.
Goblin, right? Okay.
Correct. So my guess is that he's going to show up in the new Spider-Man movie. Okay. Anyway, so thank you for letting me spoil all that. If you're back, I don't want to talk too much more about
honestly,
that.
Honestly, though, for an MCU rewatch, maybe I needed to know that actually, so that's good. It's good to know.
Yeah, you might want to just watch Let There Be Carnage. I would say I was a huge fan of Carnage, the character, when I was young.
I didn't know much about him, high school. To be honest.
Yeah, no, I loved Carnage. Well, specifically, there's a video game called Maximum Carnage when I was growing up that I really enjoyed playing. Anyway, so complete almost. Carnage is garbage almost the movie, but there are a couple of like interesting moments, and yeah, maybe you should watch the last 15 minutes of it if you're gonna do an MCU rewatch. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting
cool stuff.
Yeah, we've been watching through the MCU as well and have gotten to we are about to watch Winter Soldier and my favorite. It's my favorite of the MCU films.
That's what I was about to ask you. What's your favorite? Mine too.
Hands down, it's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, because I'm a huge. It is a spy.
It's a spy film.
It's like a political thriller. Yep. You know what I mean? It's good.
It's
very, very good.
Some of the best action moments in the whole thing. Like, Endgame Infinity War. My brain is not on. It's the beer I've been sipping.
no worries.
But in Winter Soldier, some of the best hands down.
The highway
chase and the highway sequence, or when he catches the shield.
There's two highway sequences. The sequence with Nick Fury just being
also
pounded.
Great.
And then the other one, like you just said, the overpass, the Black Widow going under, all that stuff. Very, very good.
And I think the music, some of the best music score in the whole thing. Yeah. It's
Robert good. Redford is good in this. I mean, it is a banger of a movie. It really is. It's good. It's good.
It is.
So, yeah.
Oh, I love that one. Excited to get to it. Well, my last thing is something that I've been watching, and it's a TV series, and it is I gotta be honest, I never thought I would watch this. I don't know why. It is something I've thought about watching, and kind of decided I was gonna pass on it, maybe because of some of the things I had heard about it. But Clarice and I have been watching through Outlander, which is Ronald D. Moore's series that he wrote, started writing not long ago. And it's got a bunch of Deep Space Nine people involved with it. So it's Ronald D. Moore, Ira Stephen Baer, who is the creator and showrunner of Deep Space Nine, is a writer on the show. But Outlander, so I bring this up. It's not on the surface. It's not geeky, other than there's time travel. It's the premise is a World War II nurse goes back to 17th century Scotland, and she is trapped. And it's very... on the surface, it's very romancy. There's like a, you know, there's a Highlander who's all, you know, he's cut, and she falls in love with him and blah, blah, blah. But like it, I gotta say, it is good TV. It is really well done, well written drama, with the element that there's the geeky element of time travel. And it happens a couple of different times, and there's kind of some strategizing with the time travel that occurs. And so it also, it's just a show that is enjoyable. It is not family friendly. So heads up on that one, but it's deeply dramatic and intense. And it is one of the only times I can ever think of where I have been standing up in the living room, like shouting at the TV, like, no, this is not going to happen. If this happens, I quit. I'm not going to watch the show anymore. Like, just, I've been so into the show and so into what's going on that, that it is actually, you know, it's got me yelling at the TV like a crazy person. So, yep.
Nice. I've never seen it. I've got a few friends who have tried it, but I don't know anybody who's actually watched it. So, I don't know. Obviously it sounds like you're enjoying it. Yeah. Maybe I'll put it on the list.
There have been a few moments where I've been hate yelling at it, like hate watching it a little bit. Like, no, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to watch this, but nope. If this happens, it's over. So yeah, it's been good.
Sweet.
So, I'm liking it. Well, for me, that brings us to the end. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Oh man. No, I don't think so. I may something else may come up later and I'll have to write it down for next time. But for right now, man, I feel like we've geeked off enough.
I think we have.
You know what I mean?
I think we have. Well, as always, everybody, you can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Instagram, both at Geek Card Check, and then on Facebook at the Geek Card Check Podcast. Let us know what you thought. What have you been watching? Am I a crazy person for watching Outlander? Are you watching through the MCU? Are you getting ready for Spider-Man, was it No Way Home? Is it the
No Way Home? Yep.
Which I am certainly excited for, and that's kind of why we're watching through. So, anyway, let us know what you guys think, and as always, live long and prosper.